This is an extraction.
So who are the players?
Biggest drug lord in India versus biggest drug lord in Bangladesh.
It's a mythic shit, huh?
It's a kidnapping. Drug lord's son. Clock's running at 16 hours. Proof of life as of 6 hours ago.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look on our podcast and search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what is going on?
So as we were setting up to tape this, my wife looked at the little windows, looked at our little boxes here. What does she say? She goes, "Oh, Vic looks so great. He looks skinny. He looks like he's lost weight. He looks fantastic." Like, I'm right here. I said, you know what?
I saw her.
When your head is that big, the camera subtracts pounds.
Well, but you know, JVL, you know, the big head thing on camera, that works to my advantage,
right? It
does right?
work to your advantage.
That's what they say.
Here, I have a funny I have a funny story for you boys. We are running out of things to do, as you might imagine. We've been making slime. Slime is a big thing.
Yes. Like, what is it, like Nickelodeon over there?
Yeah. We have started a butterfly garden.
Ooh.
Where we got in the mail today caterpillars that will turn into butterflies.
Wow.
So this is the Silence of the Lambs prequel that you're living in.
I was going to say, are you sure it's not like the Death's Head moth? You didn't get the Death's Head moth.
The painted lady butterfly. So we're sitting around the table talking about what's going to happen at dinner tonight. And Shannon explains to them, and you know, and so the caterpillars will go into chrysalis, and then they will emerge as butterflies, and we'll take them outside, and we'll release them, and so they can go back to nature. And G-Money, like, you know, the kids are all just, like, shaking their heads, and G-Money goes, "And I will pull my pants down, and maybe the butterflies will land on my privates." And it's just silence. The girls and Flash look at him, and he's not like going for a laugh.
No,
he just has this dream, mm-hmm. I guess, of having
could be interesting,
having
could
butterflies,
be,
a light upon his junk.
A little bit scary, but also
honestly,
you know, again,
this is,
that's it.
This is in the age of social distancing. This is a whole new frontier in the strip club experience. You don't. It's man on insect. There's no transfer of disease.
What is that? Insectophilia? Is that what they called? Entomophilia.
So I have one thing for real to talk with you guys about, because I have a feeling that there I have encountered a divide that you guys are straddling on either side of. Mm. I was teaching Flash some math now that I am a homeschooler, in addition to a person who works 40 hours a week.
Yeah, 40.
And we have hit the point where there's a lot of graphing calculator stuff.
Mm.
And I believe that Vic and I are like the last 2 years between when high school math was totally anti-calculator.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister, who is 5 years younger than me, by the time she hit high school math, everybody had to have their Texas Instruments TI 180 or whatever.
TI 83.
The graphing calculator that doubled as a blackjack.
Yeah.
Right? You could kill a man with it. And so
that's
just
after my time.
Just 5 years after you and I, Vic, everybody, just as a matter of course, learns how to use a graphing calculator. But you and I, if we showed up at calculus,
I wouldn't know what
they
that
would.
Is.
Well, no, the teachers wouldn't let you.
I had a scientific calculator, Texas Instruments, and solar powered. And you can get cosine and sine and tangent. And then you can say hello, upside down.
Boobless.
Boobless. Boobless. You beat me to it.
So I am.
So you had it, right?
I am
you were a graphing calculator.
Absolutely of the generation where the graphing calculator was not only required, but the school had a surplus of them to give to people if you could not buy one on your own. It was like, it was so required that the school would purchase them.
So. Who did Texas Instruments must have spent millions and millions of dollars going from district to district across this country, paying off school board members and saying, you know what, you gotta if you require the TI-88 graphing calculator, we can make it worth your while. You'll get your beak wet too here. Yeah, I picture the Texas Instruments guys all talking with the Texas.
Are they wearing
they have cowboy
Gallen
boots? And, right.
Ten, yes, Ted
Gallen
hats.
They got six shooters on their hips.
Yeah.
Yeehaw!
So what?
No, I actually. Why did
that happen?
Whatever they spent.
What was it that made that happen?
Whatever they spent was totally worth it because I drove past the Texas Instruments headquarters in Dallas.
It still exists?
Not very.
They're not like Radio Shack?
It's enormous. It doesn't just exist. It is enormous. It is like a 5-city block campus, yeah. I would say.
What do they make now?
Avionics. What a doubt. Avionics.
Well, they still. I think they still make graphing calculators. I think you still because like
that's it. Because now the
graphing calculator. Well, who knows? I don't know what
you just do it with your phone. Right?
There's an app. No, sure. But I'm sure that you're not allowed to use your phone because you can get Wi-Fi on the phone and download all. You can search the answers and blah, blah, blah.
Or because so Texas Instruments paid off the school board member to say, no phones.
So now
the graphing calculator is great,
so now
no phones.
Now the calculator is like actually a deficit for these children. It's like a handicap. It's like they're in Harrison Bergeron.
I wouldn't. What? But you know what's funny is?
You don't understand my literary references like Harrison Bergeron.
No, Tom Bergeron, I know because he was the wasn't he the host of America's
Funniest?
Dancing with the Stars.
What's funny is you go back 20 years before us, and they all knew how to use slide rules.
Of course.
Vic and I are in this desert where when you encounter high school math, you have to do it with just a pencil and your wits.
Yeah, my dad has a slide rule.
Struggle to the death.
The only thing I knew how to read from that was square roots, but it had multiple
I didn't even
things.
Know that.
Yeah, but it had multiple. Things are something square roots.
That's one of my favorite parts of Apollo 13 is when like everything is going to shit. Old guys in mission control are scrambling to figure
right.
to redo calculations with their slide rules.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when men were men.
Well, that's one of my favorite parts in First Man too. Is like it's not just that they are like piloting this hunk of metal hurtling through space, right? It's also that Ryan Gosling is like doing
engineer
math in his head. He's like, oh wait, I have to do
as
the calculations
he's bouncing
here.
Off the atmosphere.
Yeah. Now my favorite part in First Man was when nothing happened, and they just
well, even when nothing was happening, the camera was still happening.
Yeah.
Okay. How are you boys? What's going on?
Sonny, you look like that the meme. Is it the meme or the gif of Robert Redford as the mountain man nodding in the stream? Where is that from, that movie?
It's Jeremiah Johnson, isn't it?
I guess that's what it
River
is.
River runs through it?
No. Jeremiah Johnson.
That's after. But you know, that's what you look like now.
I'm like, I have not trimmed my beard in 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Oh,
so it's just growing.
Yeah.
It's just growing. It doesn't really look better. It just looks kind of
You're like bigger. The punchline. You're like the punchline to one of my favorite jokes. I don't know, but the one in the middle looks like Grizzly Adams. You know that one?
I don't know that one.
What is the setup?
I don't know.
It's the woman who wanted the tattoo of Elvis Presley on her inner thigh.
Oh, God.
Sorry. That was circa seventh
oh,
grade.
God.
Sorry. And it's like, I can't tell.
I heard that joke
Elvis.
On my graphing calculator. In 11th grade. No, we actually had the graphing calculator.
That was
right,
also
right?
in the 80s. Grizzly Adams, yeah. By the way. You would have, that joke would not work now. They say, I don't get it.
They don't get it too, Vic.
That's what I'm saying. We had the graphing calculators.
Or too early.
And the great thing about the graphing calculator, you guys don't know about this, was that you could actually program video games into it. And
what?
So, like, there was a brick out game that was like kind of the standard, like you download the program. But if you were a little bit edgier, there was a drug dealer game. There was like a game where you sold drugs
Oregon
in the game
for drug dealers.
Basically, Oregon Trail or like Mule. Do you remember Mule? Did you guys
Mule.
Play Mule?
Oh, I remember Mule.
I had
100%.
I had Mule on my NES. That game was the bomb.
That game was awesome.
The
were you
bomb
like a drug
diggity.
Mule? Is that what that
no,
was?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but no, you could play video games on your on your calculator, you know.
Wow!
Back in the day, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Mind blown.
I'm great. We launched the first book from Rebeller Publishing today. A little title called "They Called Me Wyatt." It is so. Here's the background of the story. I remember when I was being courted by Dallas Sanier to come to CineState and run the Rebeller brand. He mentioned that he had gone out of his way to acquire a book that had been canceled. And I was like, a book that had been canceled? What are you talking about? And he reminded me of the story of Natasha Tynes. Now, Natasha Tynes was a woman who she worked for the World Bank Group. She tweeted a photo of a Metro employee eating on the Metro train. And when she did this, she incurred the wrath of Black Twitter. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Black Twitter. Black Twitter is a collective of very, very angry African-American tweeters who... Who take any sort of slights very, very angrily and viciously. And they said that Natasha Tynes' tweets were racist. Now, they weren't racist. They were classist. I think you could make the argument that she was snitching on a working class person who was just trying to get in
a meal.
Except for the fact that all of us who ride the Metro know that you are not allowed to eat on the Metro. In fact, if you eat a French fry on the Metro, you wind up in front of Justice John Roberts. That is a thing that happened. Before he was sent up to the Supreme Court.
That was the famous, the girl who was arrested for eating the French fry.
For eating a single French fry. So this is a very serious rule. She saw it. She tweeted about it. She tweeted a photo of the person eating. This was her big mistake. Instead of just tweeting about seeing a Metro employee eating, people got very mad at her. And she had just had her first book was about to be published, this novel, They Called Me Wyatt. And she lost her book deal. The publisher canceled publishing. They pulled it off the market. They said, we're not gonna allow this woman who, you know, supports systemic racism to be published under our label. And it was nonsense. It was nonsense. So Dallas said that, you know, when I'm like interviewing, he's like, yeah, I picked up this novel. We're going to try and figure out how to publish it with the Rebeller brand. And it's going to be fun. And we published it today. And we spent a lot of time on the Rebeller social media accounts.
Congratulations. Now, you say Rebeller Publishing, is that like your own? So it's your own in-house publishing?
Yeah, we're like
Hachette Filippacci.
Yeah, we're like Simon & Schuster. We're Random House. We're
That's
Random
huge.
House. That's it's huge. Same. It's the same, but
can
different.
You give me what is the Cliff's Notes?
It's a so
book?
It's just it's a novel about a.
Is there a lot of sex in it?
No,
that's
sadly.
What Vic really wants to know.
I want to know.
I'll just ask it for
quadrants.
You.
So it's book quadrants.
It's a novel.
Short.
Well, I don't want to.
No
spoil
long words.
It. I don't want to spoil.
Lots
it.
Of sex. Those are Vic's quadrants, right?
Not quite. Hard no. Ass. So it's a novel about a young Jordanian woman who is an immigrant, a student abroad, who is murdered. And she is reincarnated in the body of a young child with speech difficulties. And the point of the book is her trying to solve her murder from behind the, you know, 4-year-old with speech difficulties. It's high concept. It's high concept.
That is. That's
it's
really.
But it's a page turner. It is short too. It nails that quadrant of the Vic Mattis, the Vic Mattis scale. It's only like 215 pages long, something like that. So it's.
Did you?
Is it Dead Tree or Kindle?
Both. It is. It is available for purchase in paperback from Amazon and also on the Kindle.
I love books.
I'm excited.
I like the way they look and smell. I'm still trying to finish.
Are we
the
still talking about books?
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
Still talking
oh yeah.
About books?
What are we talking about? Yes.
I was very excited. It was a very long day on social media trying to promote this thing and get all of my
friends. Did you get hated? Did people get angry?
No. Thankfully, no. Nobody has gotten very angry about it yet. I think that might change tomorrow because we're going to publish an interview with Natasha. And she, you know, she'll talk about it a little bit and some of the outrage. And I'm looking forward to getting that up. But she's been a real trooper, real sport about this, and we're excited to get it out today. So if you want to stick it to cancel culture by They Called Me Wyatt.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. JVL
oh,
just
no.
ran
what
out of booze.
What are you going to do, JVL? Speaking of which, wow, we haven't had that one. Sunny, I finally made my own simple syrup.
Oh. Good
it
for
was,
you.
It was.
Oh, yes. A brand new one.
1.5 liters of Kirkland
is, how much,
Irish
how much
country
cream,
cream.
How much cream can you take? That's the question.
You know, back in college.
It's okay back then.
You're
going
to have to pump your stomach.
But oh, don't make any of those, I'm not going to say his name, jokes.
Who was that?
Rod
who was,
Stewart.
I'm not.
Yes.
It was a malicious rumor by his ex, like, bodyguard guy, who was, whatever you call it, not estranged, but he was, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't
Curious?
Remember anymore. Disoriented. No. He was, you know, a very angry and upset at him. And so.
Disgruntled.
Thank you. Disgruntled.
It's a long word.
I can't. Yeah. Woof. Disgruntled and that apparently. I'll believe Rod on that. Look at that. That is a lot of
for
cream.
Good times. Make it Kirkland time.
Wow. Okay. So, Sonny, I made the simple syrup, and it was simpler than I thought.
It's easy.
It is just equal. Do you do 2-to-1 or 1-to-1?
1-to-1.
Okay. Or 1.5-to-1. I do 1-to-1 granulated sugar, right? And it's great. The only problem is that's a lot of sugar. And now we have pretty much, I haven't told Kate, we pretty much have no sugar in the house now. So in case she wants to bake or anything, it's... It's boy, in a bottle yeah. in the fridge.
That's fine. Just add some simple syrup to the recipe.
That's fine. Just use it. It'll probably work. And you know what? It was really interesting. You know, so it finally opened up, you know, all the other opportunities for so many drinks. You want to make a daiquiri or a Tom Collins or obviously the old-fashioned mint juleps and things. Once the mints start growing again, we'll totally be in business. But it was really interesting, the old-fashioned with that simple syrup. I mean, it just... It tastes
so much
less,
better. It's so
it,
much.
It's in a weird way. I don't know. Complex and much more interesting. And I did just the slice of orange. Quick question: what bitters did you use?
Angostura.
Okay. You know what I used? I used the Peychaud's. Mm. You know who gave me that?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
glad you got rid of the stuff that you didn't want.
You
got
to use the Angostura. That's the good stuff. Okay. Peychaud's is fine.
Peychaud's, and then yeah, I have the orange ones, but I don't. You could do orange bitters, but you don't.
Orange bitters, you want that more for the martinis and the Manhattan
yeah.
kind of. Yeah. I still prefer Angostura for all those. But
okay, and I use rye, bullet rye.
Oh yeah,
rye old fashioned.
You can do that.
You know what I was tempted to do? I was tempted to slice an orange. And put some cherries in there and then just muddle it all and have a big party.
No. Just throw that's some cool. club soda in there.
Okay. Oh, speaking of which, because it reminds me of the old fashions from the Palm, but they didn't use club soda. Morton's did the club soda. Somebody
No, they definitely they definitely put club soda in those in those old fashions.
Remember that?
No, they put them in the old fashions at the Palm too. Yeah, those
really?
Are yeah.
I don't
absolutely.
Notice that. Interesting.
Absolutely.
Do you okay, Sonny's now
I'm
left.
Right here. I've got my headphones on.
I received a book today in the mail, anonymous. I opened it up and it's the Palm Steakhouse from 2002 cookbook.
Oh yeah.
Recipe book and it's a huge
Tommy
book.
Sent it from the dead.
He did. Well, it's signed, but it's not to people I know. So it's not signed to me. So it's like it clearly was found like what do you call it? Remaindered and so I just want to thank whoever it is who sent it. Thank you very much. It's a great book. And as I mentioned on Twitter, there's a forward. There are two forwards in there. One of the forwards is from Brian Dennehy.
Oh, who you murdered.
Well, yeah, but the other
maybe
one is
maybe it's from Brian Dennehy.
Maybe it's from Brian Dennehy. He's on the right side. And on the left side is Larry King. Oh, wait a minute. He's still alive. Okay.
Who would have thunk?
For the next 6 days.
Moving right along.
Vic is basically the ring.
I was thinking of that when we talked about this last week.
You know
it
how
is
the ring. Do you know how that cycle ended when people switched to DVDs?
Vic just said Larry King. Right. Vic just said Larry King, and like Larry King just got a call on his cell phone. 6 days.
That's how it works. And his face. Oh, the face thing already happened. The face thing already
happened.
Yeah,
it's you know,
with that weird phantom thing that happens to her. Okay, so other than that, it's fine. The only other thing I wanted to mention, I'm very annoyed about, is I had way back in the day put an order in to get some exercise equipment in my house, right? Namely, very simple, a bench and dumbbells. Little did I know there was this huge dumbbell. You know, it's like it's right up there with toilet paper. You have as much chance of finding dumbbells anywhere now as you do Cottonelle.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so I had placed an order that was supposed to come at the end of this month, and I hadn't heard anything. And so I finally checked on Amazon, and it said, "We think we lost your order."
Mm.
And I don't know if that's their exact words, but they think they said the order. I think they do it in the passive voice. The order has been lost. And they said there's still a possibility they'll find it.
What weights did you order?
The only ones that were available, which were 45-pound dumbbells.
So you ordered 90 pounds worth of dumbbells.
Yes.
The shipping costs alone on that must be triple the actual cost of the...
That's interesting. It didn't seem that bad, or maybe they just put it into the price of how much they were charging for it. It was like 60-something bucks.
Including shipping?
Yeah.
They lost money on that.
Yeah, they must have. Not only did they lose money on it,
they made money on it by selling it twice. They sold it to Vic, and then so they sold it to whoever they sold it to.
They're offering me, obviously, as Amazon does. They offer the refund. But I haven't done it because they said there's still a possibility they'll find it. And I haven't done it because every time I look for other places, including at Dick's Sporting Goods, there's none to be found. There's none.
Just start lifting paint cans. Just go buy some paint cans.
It's kind of like they'll be my version of kettlebells,
and
like
Unbreakable.
Like,
and like Unbreakable, right? You unbreakable. Just put them on the end of the put them on the end of the bar and start pressing them.
Okay, moving
is that what
right
you do?
Along. That's what I was going to do. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so that's what's going on, and otherwise everything else is fine. We don't have.
What are we going to do about this section? So I was
very strange.
I was listening. I've been running and listening to old episodes of our show, trying to figure out what we could do better.
Yeah.
And we just need a new section here for the during the box office talk. So what should we do?
Streaming thought. What does that mean, streaming thoughts? Are there new movies that are being streamed? Well, in fact, there are. But we can't discuss their box office.
So what should we talk about? Should we talk about actors we would like to see dead? Should we talk politics?
We'll think about it. You know what? You know, no.
Little 2020
definitely,
election?
Definitely
VP
not.
Watch?
Please. Definitely not. But
that's Stacey Abrams.
We could
love that Stacey Abrams.
A heartbeat away. We could ask our listeners and maybe they'll have some idea of how we could fill that in. But in terms of, but speaking of movies,
I know.
What, JVL?
Watch Talk.
Speaking of movies, Sonny, I understand movie theaters might be reopening in your state.
Yeah, Texas.
Along with other things.
Abbott.
Explain what's happening.
Governor Abbott's like, hey, we're going to open up the restaurants and the theaters.
You know what?
It's called the JBL Suck It Act.
You know what?
Was that on the spot, Sonny? Or did you have that written down like you're ready to
I can't wait to see how many people show up to the theaters.
Well, there's nobody's going to go to the theaters because there's no new product for the theaters. AMC,
yes,
AMC
correct.
Says that they're not going to open anything until there's new
that
stuff in
the
theaters.
Reason.
And that's fine, so we'll just all be inside until Tenet comes out in July. That's when the theaters will reopen.
Oh, okay.
Christopher Nolan will will the industry back to life with
3 months.
His bare hands. He'll have the theaters all to himself for 2 months.
And maybe Santa Claus will bring you presents, too.
Everyone will go see his movies because they're so good. They got to be seen projected onto the side of the moon that has been dragged down to the earth to watch the movies on. Can't watch it on TV. That's bullshit.
Are you going to go get a haircut or something when it finally opens?
Yeah, I do need a haircut.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You should do that.
I'll just wear a mask.
And don't wear a mask either. Don't wear a mask. Don't wear gloves. You should ask the guy who cuts your hair to lick your eyeballs.
Here's the thing, and that is that this disease is horribly overrated. Nobody really gets sick from it unless you're old, and then everyone's
nursing
fine.
Homes.
Fine.
Nursing homes.
I'm not over the age of 65, so I'll be okay. Unless I get one of those
Vic.
Unless I get one of those strokes.
We have to protect Vic.
Yeah, well, Vic, I mean,
I'm trying to go backwards. Yeah. Okay. So, All
no,
right.
I mean,
well,
I mean, literally, yeah, literally, in the state of Texas, I think like 800 people have had this. So I'm not sure
it's fine.
I'm not too worried
about
it.
The Alamo just tweeted that they are not opening.
Oh, well, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. In the meantime, we decided that we would watch a new movie. A new movie has come out.
A new movie.
But at some point, I imagine that there are no longer these movies that have been sitting in the can, and then that'll be the end of it, especially for TV sitcoms and stuff. But that'll not, I mean, by the fall, I guess they'll be back. But the movie that we saw was on Netflix. It looked like a big budget movie by my standards. Extraction, starring Chris Hemsworth, by a first-time director who stars, he has a cameo in the movie, Hargraves, is that his name, Sam Hargraves? But it's by, everyone is excited because it was by the Russo brothers.
Written by one of the Russo brothers and produced by the Russo brothers.
Yes.
Adapted from a comic book.
Called La Ciudad. Yeah. So, I watched it last night. And
I watched it last night.
Sonny, did you watch it last night?
I watched it two nights ago.
Did anyone else watch it?
Yes. My father. No, sorry. My father. And I
bet your
him,
dad loved it.
You know what he said? He texted. Well, hold on. I'll read it to you right now. Just give me a
Do
second.
Do it in your father's voice, please.
Okay, I will, because it's a fantastic. Of course, I had turned my phone off for this segment. So you're going to have to give me 5 minutes as my phone gets started. It's an Apple SE, which was just recently reviewed in the Wall Street Journal as a perfect phone for people who hate technology. And for people, they said it was like a person who said it, they got it over the jitterbug.
Wait, did
is
you?
What they said.
Is this a new phone?
No, it's not the new SE, but there's a new SE.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a new
there's
SE.
There's a new SE. Yeah. Yeah, that is correct. And okay.
It's the 1998 SE.
So I said to my dad, I heard you saw Extraction. What did you think? And this is word for word. Good action movies. I'm also watching series, Freud, interesting, Mom Don't Watch This, in Netflix. That's what it is. Mom Don't Watch This. So I'm not Freud? I'm not sure what that, what is Freud? Is that like Masters of Sex?
I have no idea.
I have no idea, but
maybe
it's on Netflix.
Maybe it was autocorrect from Friends. Maybe he's watching Friends.
Is Friends even on Netflix anymore?
I don't know why he's watching Friends, but he's, you know what, though? Lots of action is right. That was a lot of action. And, well, Sonny, why don't you give us a big boy review?
So Extraction is, as Vic says, kind of a medium to high budget movie for Netflix made by quote unquote the Russo brothers.
They must have a lot of money.
Well, it's interesting what they have done with their post Avengers success, because they made this and they also made 21 Bridges. Do you remember the ads for 21 Bridges, which started which starred Chadwick Boseman as the police officer who shuts down all of the bridges, so nobody can get
all
in 21 or out
of them.
Nobody can get in or out of the city.
Is this the one in Detroit with the race riot?
No, that's. That was Detroit. This is just another movie with black
Detroit
person.
Detroit is next to the lake. They don't have bridges. They don't.
It's landlocked. It's landlocked. But my point is they're making
Detroit
like,
is not landlocked. It's on the Great Lakes.
Well, whatever.
Detroit, the three. Okay, whatever. Go ahead.
They are making interesting, like kind of almost 1990 style. Action programmers, like not movies that are necessarily designed to start franchises, though they could, not movies that are based on like awesome intellectual property that everyone is well aware of and is, you know, is sure to gross $100 million to $500 million at the domestic box office. And they're using the stars who they worked with in the Marvel movies, Chadwick Boseman, of course, but also Chris Hemsworth in this film. Mm-hmm. And I liked Extraction. Extraction is about a Australian mercenary whose job it is to rescue a Indian drug lord's son from a rival drug lord. Indian from the subcontinent. Indian. From a Bangladeshi competitor. The whole thing takes place in Dhaka, more or less. It is well shot. It is high octane. It has a very good star performance from Chris Hemsworth. But it's totally fine. I enjoyed it. It's about an hour and 45 minutes, which is like the thing I might have liked most about it. It is very quick paced. It is very Johnny on the spot. And here's what everyone is going to be. Here's what everyone is talking about. Everyone's talking about the scene, which is like this big action scene that takes place about 25, 30 minutes into the film. That's part car chase, part run through the slums. of DACA part, you know, whatever. And it's stitched almost together.
It looks like single shot.
Right. It's stitched together to look like a single shot, but it's done so in such an ostentatious way that nobody could actually think of it as a single shot, which actually, like, annoys me in a way. I don't like that. I think it's too ostentatious, and I think it's too showy, and, like, frankly, not showy enough. It's lazy stitching it together like that. I don't care for it. But what the scene I actually like the most, and the scene that I think is the best thing in the movie, and the thing that, like, most, it makes me most sad that Chris Hemsworth was not born in time to be a 1980s action star. There's a scene where he takes on a group of child soldiers in an alleyway. And it is fantastically funny and also violent and kind of brutal. And, like, treats this whole thing very real. And it's very resonant thematically, too, because, like, Chris Hemsworth, his whole backstory is he had a sick kid who died, so he can't, like, kill kids, and he wants to save kids, and blah, blah, blah. So, like, he's, like, faced with this, like, gang of child soldiers who are armed to the teeth and trying to kill him. And he, instead of just gunning them down as he has gunned down everybody else in this movie.
The body count.
As he has gunned down everyone else in this movie. He, like, takes the time to actually disarm them and disable them. And it's, again, it's, like, it's funny and it's clever and it's well done in a way that that single stitched together scene is not. It's, like, actually thought through. And it's, again, it's thematically resonant with what they're trying to get across about his character. But it's also very funny. And it, like, when I was watching it, I was like, this is totally a scene that Arnold Schwarzenegger or maybe even, like, a Harrison Ford could have done. Like, it's not like Harrison Ford was never quite that physical of an action star, but it has that kind of sense of humor to it. And, you know, you've got this hulking 6'4" Nordic god, like, tossing around these, you know, 4.5-foot street urchins, literally, like, grabs one by the foot and slams them into a van. And I was just like, this is fantastic. This is all I want from this movie. Bruce Willis could have done that scene. Totally. That's totally a Bruce Willis style scene. Although Bruce Willis, like, not really big enough to do, but yeah, but, like, that is, like, in Bruce Willis's, like, mode of action. Anyway, I like the movie. I didn't love it. I thought it was fine. It is a totally acceptable way to spend 105 minutes as we're locked in our houses with nowhere to go. I don't know.
Hour 56.
Yeah. No, but it's close to no, two, but it felt like. That is what the time is with the credits. The credits start rolling at 105 minutes, 106 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes of credits.
Sure, oh. It wasn't 156 minutes when they started rolling?
Pretty sure.
Maybe 1,056 minutes?
I take it you thought this movie was a long slog.
What are you suggesting,
Jonathan Last?
JVL, what do you think?
I forget me. Victorino, man of the people.
Yeah. A plus. A lot of action. I thought it was great. I mean, you know, you don't want to say the word derivative. I don't want to say it. I'm not that kind of a guy. I'm not a mean critic.
Is
but,
it better
you know.
Than the other extraction?
What was the other extraction?
The 2015 Bruce Willis vehicle.
Oh, man. I don't even remember that one.
No relation.
Proof of Life with Russell Crowe. So this
Man
one,
on Fire.
I thought, you know, what is the elevator pitch for this? I'm not saying this is it, but I'm just saying the elevator pitch was like, I don't know, Heat meets Black Hawk Down, you know. Black Hawk Down meets Slumdog Millionaire. You know,
yeah, that's closer. It's closer.
No. Do you know what the elevator pitch is? The elevator pitch is American movie star with a bunch of Bollywood people. So do you have two built-in markets?
Built-in and and Netflix budget.
That's the elevator pitch for it.
So the Chris Hemsworth, his counterpart in this movie is basically, he's not quite a big Bollywood star. But he's a known quantity in India.
So people have come to watch him too.
Yeah,
there,
and he's great in this.
And
movie.
He's great.
I love
he's very
that
good.
Guy.
Yeah, no,
also,
he's
the
great.
Movie. It plays almost like a silent movie. I mean, you barely need dialogue.
That works for
to
me.
To understand what's going on.
That works for me, and sometimes I couldn't understand the dialogue. But I thought, you know, there was a lot of accents, and I like David Harbour a lot. Small role. If you want to go through the quadrants, the duration was a little long. I'm with JVL on this. I felt that was it felt long. Okay. I had a late start to the movie too, so that was a problem. The plot, I thought, it's fairly straightforward. There's a there seems to be a double cross. Spoiler alert: a double cross. I guess the drug dealer wanted the kid out. He wanted Chris Hemsworth to do the dirty work, and then the other guy was going to take the kid and rescue the kid himself.
It's pretty straightforward.
The money wasn't. There was no transfer of funds. Is that what happened?
It's not.
Can we, Sonny? Can you just spell out for people what the other guy is here, so they can understand?
Yeah. So the
I don't know their names.
The son of the drug dealer, he is kidnapped, and the son of the kid's bodyguard,
the Indian drug dealer,
right. So the son of the Indian drug dealer is kidnapped, and the kid's bodyguard basically is tasked with bringing the kid back, or his family will be killed. And he says to his wife at one point, there's no money to do this. We don't have the money to do it, but we can still possibly get it done.
Because the drug lord doesn't understand that all of his funds have been seized. He thinks he's still a big rich guy.
Well, the drug lord, I think that, I mean, it doesn't really matter if the drug lord knows it or not. I mean, I think the drug lord knows that the money's not there. But this bodyguard sets up this extraction with the mercenary who they paid for, and then double crosses him with the intent of taking the kid back and killing the extraction team without
because
paying them
pay
off because he can't pay them. And so that's how he's going to get the kid back and save his family, which gives it like an extra level of pathos. And like, it's actually,
I mean, you kind of knew that the other guy who wanted also to rescue the kid and bring him back because he's worried about his own son. You knew that he was going to end up being sort of a good guy in the end because otherwise it would be an unnecessary scene to see him, you know, call home to talk to his son and say, I miss you and love you and stuff like that. But nevertheless, violence I thought was amazing.
A plus
violence. There's one where he uses a guy's body and swings it and knocks the other guy's head almost off. I thought that was great. And grenade launcher, JVL. Grenade launcher. See, I love that because it has that great noise. Thum, thum, thum. Okay. I don't know how that sounds to the listeners. Trivia, thum. JVL. G.I. Joe trivia. Who had the grenade launcher?
Gung Ho.
Oh, wow. I think that one point, not even more than 1.0
like
seconds. 1.0, maybe even less than a second. 0.9.
You and I coordinated on that. Not at all.
Not at all. Not at all. I started when I looked at, I had written down grenade launcher, and then I wrote down G.I. Joe trivia. See how long it takes for him to get that one, you know? As opposed to like a pistol with a rocket on it, which you can only fire once, which would be
useless.
Yeah. Okay.
Utterly useless.
And in terms of sex and nudity, obviously, none, but I like that girl. She's Iranian, Golshifteh Farahani. And I'd like to see her in more things. I thought she was great.
Can we talk seriously about her?
Yes.
Yeah.
As an actress?
Sure. Yes.
Because Victorino, I don't know if you know much about her. She is an art house darling.
Oh, no.
And she chose to pose naked without any clothes on.
What?
And for this, was told by the Iranian government that she need not come home back to Iran.
Vic, she could stay here.
Is
I mean,
possible?
In this country.
Is it possible? I understand that we like the essential workers. I understand that the doctors and nurses are great, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that she is the greatest hero of them all?
Oh, yeah. She's up there. She's up there. I'm intrigued.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
John Glenn.
And then Golshifteh
Farahani. Golshifteh
Farahani. I was intrigued by her eyebrows.
You know, if just for research purposes about political freedom, maybe you ought to go and look up some of those photos just to understand exactly what's going on with the Iranian mullahs. And you could do a piece about it for the Washington Free Beacon.
I will look into that in 30 minutes. Okay, dailymotion.com. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I don't even know what that is. What do you think this does for Chris Hemsworth, right? Does this expand? People think, oh, wow, he can act. He should be another star.
Giant house with it.
Yeah, well, there's that. I mean, we already know he does comedy because he did Lady Ghostbusters, right? And
funniest thing in Lady
action.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And he does this, and he's pretty serious. He has some serious moments here. So I thought it was good. JVL, you had
he's
thoughts.
Hemsworth is a durable action star. He's fine. So
you know, the story behind the director here is a little bit like Chad Stahelski.
Yeah.
So Chad Stahelski is a fight coordinator who gets in good with the directors and is given the keys to the car and then delivers John Wick. And in this case with Extraction, Sam Hargrave winds up giving us a movie that is honestly pretty paint by numbers. There's almost nothing in this which stands out from any of a dozen other movies. You know, there's the slog through the streets, just like in Black Hawk Down. There's the double crosses, like in Spartan. There's the kill 'em all, like in Man of Fire. The scene that everybody will talk about. The only thing I found interesting about that was that I believe it was shot not with a Steadicam, but with drones.
I think some of it probably was, but I think a lot of it was just CGI'd together.
Oh, you think it was CGI'd together, a legitimate one take?
No, not. Okay. All those shots that are going through, like, windshields? There are shots where they jump off a balcony, and he gets in a car, and then the camera comes, like, into the windshield. It's terrible.
I was talking about the stuff where they are in the interior of the housing block. And going from sort of hallway to hallway, room to room.
Maybe some of that stuff was done
and
by
then
drone.
They jump off off of the roof onto the next roof and follow people down and get into the street. And I believe
how do they do that?
I believe it's being done with drones. And if you were an aspiring kid who wants to go to film school and get involved in film, I would highly recommend you learn how to do drone photography.
Because
it's like the one growth industry.
Or you can work for the Air Force.
I don't know. Like, it's at least 30 minutes too long. The entire second act sequence with the guy's house is totally unnecessary.
Let me ask you this. Did you predict, as I...
The minute he picked him up.
I was going to say besides that. Even I thought this was going to happen. The kid who wants to rise up.
The kid who winds up killing him.
Almost killing him.
And it's all, I don't know. I found it boring and I found it a chore to slog through the entire thing. I didn't hate it, like I didn't dislike it, but I don't know.
I like sound of the weapons going off. That was great. But in the end,
I like his choice of watch. He's wearing a Casio G-Shock Frogman. Once you move to ultra high definition and you get a large enough screen, you can actually sit and pick out timepieces. And that I was much more interested in figuring out what watch he was wearing than
anything else was
happening.
The ending when he gets shot, when Hemsworth gets shot, reminded me of the ending of Carlito's Way. Do you remember this?
Except that he's maybe alive.
Benny from the Bronx. That's true.
Because there's no body. And then when the Indian kid comes out of the swimming pool, there's a hazy figure.
There's a vision, which is why there's going to be sequel Extraction 2 Electric Boogaloo, and I cannot wait for that.
I don't know. So in a movie like this, when I think, because this is a genre piece, one of the important things is you need to have really interesting chemistry between the protector and the protectee. And I think my favorite of all these movies might be Spartan. And it's because of what you get with Val Kilmer and Kristen Bell. Like, they have a really interesting kind of chemistry going on between them. And this whole thing just felt like, paint by numbers. It felt like every other Netflix thing.
Yes.
Which is, it's too long.
Too derivative?
It's totally derivative. You can see the people getting rich on screen. And it exists more as an idea for how to provide content for multiple international audiences than it does as any sort of either entertainment or artistic expression. And there's nothing to hate about it, but yeah, I don't know. Pass.
Okay.
There.
All right.
There. You know what I would say, though? I would say over quarantine, the amount of Disney Plus we have watched and the number of times when we have thought, there's this movie we want to watch, and we go to look for it, and it turns out it's on Disney Plus, is so large. And it's the exact opposite of the Netflix model. Netflix is 500 channels with nothing to watch, and Disney is, we only have like 100 things, but they're all good things, and they're all the things that you want to make an appointment to go and watch there.
What were some of the things you wanted to watch?
We wanted to watch The Parent Trap. We wanted to watch Freaky Friday.
Which Parent Trap? The remake?
They've got them both. Oh. But we watched the back-to-back Lindsay Lohans. So we watched the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap and then the Lindsay Lohan Freaky Friday.
What's her name? Haley Mills?
Haley Mills.
Yeah.
Who is in the second one.
She really plays it.
Yeah, she has a small... Actually, and what's funny is the...
That's great.
So the evil girl trying to steal the Dennis Quaid character, mm-hmm. she is also in the second one. The one who played that in the original, the Haley Mills one,
really?
Is in this one too. And she plays the mother of the evil girl in this one.
Oh, that's
and
great.
She's great.
That's perfect.
She's great.
That's the one with Dennis Quaid, right?
Yeah, Dennis Quaid and Natasha Richardson. Richards?
Oh, Richards. Yeah. You mean...
But Disney is just stuffed full because the Disney catalog is filled with properties that you actually want to see and not just generic product of the week.
There is, however, sometimes, you know, you go on Netflix and you'll find old, it's either Netflix or Amazon because I get confused with the two of them when I'm surfing for movies.
You get confused easily sometimes.
I do. Just in general, I do. But two movies I saw recently. One I hadn't seen in a while, and I thought it was great. It's still, for me, I thought it's great. It's Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman. But that is not the kind of movie that if you did it today, there's no way. When he shows up at the Russian Tea Room, and his agent, the great Sidney Pollack, is there. What does he say to Michael? He says, "Mike, you need therapy." That's, you couldn't say that today. And Bill Murray has jokes about the idea that you're only doing it just to get the job because it's easier as a, you know, and oof, it's complicated.
Didn't that movie make $1 billion?
It did.
I feel like Tootsie is one of those movies that was number one in the country for 12 weeks in a row or something crazy like that.
I get wary. We joke about, you know, people I mention on the show and stuff, so I get wary about it. But
careful
I'll mention,
with Dustin Hoffman.
I'm
He's
sorry.
A national treasure. Don't you kill him, Vic.
Oh, no, because, it's not who you think I was going to mention him because, and of course, he has his own problems. He had his own problems with the whole Me Too thing. No, I was going to mention Dabney Coleman, who is now like 88. He's so good in every movie he did, 9 to 5 and War Games and Cloak and Dagger and Tootsie. I mean, you name it, man. And even in You've Got Mail years later, he's just fantastic. I love Dabney Coleman and Charles Durning was in that movie too. It's a great movie. The other movie I finally saw, guys, was Death of Stalin. And you know what? That was a great movie. Too bad I didn't see it in time to discuss it on the show. I'll do it now. Stalin!
Tootsie.
No, I'm just kidding.
So Tootsie...
Come on. Do it. Do you have a gene review?
I didn't have anything prepared. No, I was just going to say, Death of Stalin. You know, no. But I did see it. I said, oh, it's finally on. Wow. That was really good. And I'll tell you who was real. They're all great in it. And some of the actors I don't know. I mean, the English ones. But Jason Isaacs is fantastic as Zhukov. He's fantastic. And when they first introduce him, he throws off this cape thing. Is just great. And, of course, the guy who plays Beria. I don't know that actor, but he was fantastic.
Tootsie is, adjusted for inflation, the 76th highest grossing film of all time, with $533 million in 2020 dollars.
That's amazing. Yeah, 1982. Jessica
for
Lange.
A movie that must have cost...
Oh.
$9 million in 2020.
I love seeing it for a number of reasons, particularly because it's old New York. Terry Garr is in it. She's great, too. So,
budget $21 million.
Mm. Yeah.
$20 million of it to Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would assume at least, you know, 5 to 10 of that to Dustin. So.
It's something. Okay. Do we have any other thoughts on nothing? No?
You know, I have a thought.
Yeah,
I've thought about next week's show.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I want us to do Stick It. Neither of you have ever seen it.
No,
I'm going to pitch it to my wife as a movie to watch with the kids because I'm going to say the girls love gymnastics. It's a gymnastics movie. I think it's pretty much safe. I don't think there's any hanky-panky in it. I think it's just, look, she's in an ice bath. She's in an ice bath because she's an athlete.
I've actually seen Stick It.
Oh, you have?
I've totally seen Stick It.
Good, so let's do it. Vic, you haven't. Yeah. And I will, if you need an alibi, I can help you out with
Is
that.
Is it free?
I'll talk to you. No, I will Amazon Prime gift it to you.
Oh, my goodness.
So that you don't have to pay for it, and it won't be on your charge card.
Which is better, Stick It or Bring It On?
Better in which way?
Just as a movie in general, movie qua movie.
Well, Bring It On is better. Yeah. As,
which
as
is better
movie.
Than Bring It On or Bring It On 2? I'll say Bring It On 2. Okay.
What?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I want to do Stick It next week. That's my proposal to you boys.
We'll
don't
see.
Don't answer now.
We'll see what
don't
else
answer
is
now.
Going on. We'll see
but it would be our most on. Downloaded episode ever.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's very niche on Twitter, but there's a lot of listeners who are probably like, what? You know, I don't know. I don't know. Our friends would love it. Our friends would love it. But it's very inside. It's very inside.
That's all we do this for. We do this show for our friends anyway.
Corrections and shout outs. Anything? Nothing.
No.
I'll tell you, the quarantine's killing us here. Oh, I shouldn't say that. You could bleep that. That's not appropriate. Sorry. Thank you. And that's I meant that in a figurative sense in terms of the material. Sonny's laughing. I just meant in terms of the material. I know that. I know what's going on out there. It's terrible. Okay. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. And thank
short
God.
Short episode.
Yeah. Well, short and to the point. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments, tweet us at Sonny Bunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon on a podcast. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. What happened, Sonny?
Sorry, I've got some ice in my mouth.
All right, so serious point. Yeah. It's first time in my life ever that I'm like two sheets to the wind and Vic hasn't had a drop to drink.
No, I had, yeah, no.
This has never happened in our lives.
Yeah, I couldn't after last night because I got so excited with the simple syrup, but I had four old fashions and then and then two scotches of the what is it? It was great. It's the Glenlivet 15. I forgot. It was under my table. So I've tweeted out photos of my bar and then I forgot that underneath the bar, I had more. And so out came the Glenlivet 15, you know, just had a little, a wee couple drams. And so that was, I'm recovering right now, but I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be fine.
So what I wanted to tell you guys is that the quarantine has changed us in many ways.
Who us?
As I'm sure it has changed you, all of us.
Okay. Yeah.
We, sure. Mm-hmm. We're home together, as they say on the television. I looked down on Friday night and realized that I was wearing the same pair of jeans that I have worn since the quarantine began.
Jeans?
One pair of jeans for, what is it now, 6 weeks? 60 weeks? I don't know how long it's been.
I asked you about this once because the only pair of jeans I do wear now are those Prana jeans, the one with the studs on the inside and the leather, the chaps. The chaps? Or as
the tearaway, the breakaway
what
jeans.
What used to drive Sonny nuts was when people would say assless chaps. Right.
Chaps are by definition assless.
Right. And I asked you, well, how often do you think you have to run it in the wash? And you said like every couple months. That's what you said.
Well, I'm sure it's fine.